Blog Talk Radio.
You are now rocking with someone who's extraordinary, who's legendary, who's visionary. So I'm gonna need you to get on your feet, put your hands together, and make some noise for none other than Lorenzo the DC. Look through the cookbooks to the gold found. Went straight to the lab, made some gold crowns. Bought just enough for the go around. So while I'm on the stage, put your phone down. If you want the diamonds, that ain't for free. You either must listen to pay the fee. To catch you a mouse, gotta get the cheese. So open your mouth and get some of this. The chef in the kitchen cooking the munchies to bring back attention from over yonder. I run it like Tyler, but we ain't nowhere near Wakanda. Give you some words to ponder. We out in this jungle full of concrete. Going so hard to the mission complete. All the life in the wild is spinning time pee. Cause I'm ringing the bell, yelling time to eat. The wolves was howling, creepies was prowling, government wilding, predator prowling, out on the island, stomachs was growling, my number they dialing, y'all know who it is, since I came bow out, I straight bowed in, I meditated like Shaolin, can't feed the whole world on the straight south end,
I got them munchies for your mind,
let them eat,
but when you hungry on your grind,
gotta let them eat so hard,
cause later you go find dime,
let them eat,
if you don't feed yourself to shine, that would be a crime, so I got them munchies for
eat.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Well, hello and welcome to Words to Ponder Radio Show, your place for motivation, inspiration, and life-enhancing teachings with your host, Florenza Denise Lee, narrative coach and children's book author. During this hour, Florenza asks the question, what's your story? Allowing her guests to share them all for God's glory. Knowing that your time is precious, we thank you for spending it here with us. We air live every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Florenza has an amazing guest speaker lined up for you tonight. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be blessed here on Words to Ponder Radio Show.
Well, hello, everybody. It's me, Florenza Denise Lee. And for those of you who dialed in extra early, you got just a little bit of my rap song. That one is entitled Munchies for Your Mind. We were supposed to release it for iTunes by now. And I don't know what we're doing. We're just dragging our feet with it. But you're still able to catch it on any of my Facebook pages. You may also listen to it on SoundCloud. It's just a really cool song. If you're not much into the beat of rap, well, it's not going to be your thing. But if you are, then it's right up your alley. It really is just a cool song, and it was written especially for me, so I'm kind of biased by it. You know how it is, you know, when it's ours. Speaking of, I want to encourage you, for those who are in Hampton Roads, to please join us Saturday, August the 24th, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4. The address is 1 Red Heart Drive. That's in Hampton, Virginia. It's in the Family Life Center of Warwick Assembly of God. The parking is going to be at 1228 Todd's Lane, and it's just a little short street that separates the actual building where we will be and the building, the actual church building. And so either one of those locations, if you put into your GPS, it will bring you right there, and you'll be right on scene. If you have been following me on social media, and I hope that you are, you've seen some giveaways that we have coming up, and I've got to tell you, people like free stuff. And so everyone has been logging on to get those tickets so that they could be placed in the drawing for the giveaways. And I want you to know, I'm telling you, stay on that, because we are going to be doing some amazing, amazing, amazing giveaways for this event. All of the proceeds go to REACH, that stands for Reading Enriches All Children, and they will receive the proceeds for the event itself. And we're just super excited for the work that they do. For those who don't know, they purchase books for children who are homeless, at risk, or those who are living in shelters, and they do a tremendous job. When I first heard of them, I was just super excited about the work that they do, and I immediately partnered with them. And I just can't wait to see the outcome of this event and where we go next. So this is by no means our only event. This is just the first. So a very happy birthday to all of the birthday babies who've had a birthday since our last airing. Happy birthday to you. I hope it's just been the beginning of an amazing year for you. I hope you all had a very safe Independence Day. For those who celebrate, I hope that you had an amazing day. For those who just enjoyed the day off, I hope you had a great day of relaxation. Let's see. I think I've taken care of everything. At the point of this airing, July 9th, wow, we had a special prayer request go up this past year, this past week. And it was of a 14-year-old who was a survivor of a suicide attempt. And as of now, it's still very touch and go. And so we're just asking for everyone to please keep this young man lifted up in your prayers. As soon as I get more information, I will definitely pass that over to you. So I do not have his name or anything at that, his name or his city location. It was just brought to me for us to pray. And so we've just brought together thousands of prayers. I'm in some Facebook groups where there are at least 15,000 individuals, and they're there for that one purpose, is to pray. And so whenever you have a prayer request, you can just post it there, and these guys will come together and pray for that need. And so I'm really excited to hear the outcome of this, knowing that God definitely rewards those prayers that we send up to him. And so if ever you have a prayer request and you'd like for us to pray, please just put that on my Facebook page or send it to me as a IM or DM, or text it to me, email it to me, and let me know, and we most definitely submit those prayers up for you. Our scripture reading is coming from, let's see, you guys know I don't have anything in advance. I just love just seeing where God leads. Okay, so we are going to have Psalms 76. It says, God's reputation is very great in Judah and in Israel. His home is in Jerusalem. He lives upon Mount Zion. There he breaks the weapon of our enemies. The everlasting mountains cannot compare with you in glory. The mightiest of our enemies are conquered. They lie before us in the sleep of death. Not one can lift a hand against us. When you rebuke them, God of Jacob, steeds and riders fall. No wonder you are greatly feared. Who can stand before an angry God? You pronounce sentence on them from heaven. The earth trembles and stands silent before you. You stand up to punish the evildoers and to defend the meek of the earth. Man's futile wrath will bring you glory. You will use it as an ornament. Fulfill all of your vows that you have made to Jehovah, your God. Let everyone bring him presents. He should be reverenced and feared, for he cuts down princes and does awesome things to the kings of the earth. That was found in Psalm 76, and I am reading from the paraphrased Bible. You know what I say, if you don't read the scripture for yourself, it's equivalent to allowing someone else to eat for you. You may watch, but you can't enjoy the benefits of it. So please make sure that you read your scriptures for yourself. Now, I have two amazing guest speakers lined up for you today. Yes, we have two. We have two amazing authors, and we have just different subjects that we're going to talk on. And so I encourage you to please stick around to the very end of the show, because they are so diverse and what they're going to share with us that I am just tremendously looking forward to hearing what it is that they have to share with us. Before I bring on our first guest speaker, who is Miss Deborah Fry, I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of one of my all-time favorite jazz songs, and this is the group JK, and the name of this song is Say Love. You're listening to Horse to Ponder Radio, featuring myself, Lauren with Denise Lee. I'll be right back with you. Okay, just a few more minutes to that, but you guys know that is absolutely one of my favorite songs, so I hope that that just put you in a mindset for my next guest. I am bringing on this moment, Miss Deborah Jennifer Fry, and she is a certified grief recovery method specialist whose trials and triumphs give her a first-rate experience on how to overcome the journey through this thing we call grief. It is her aim and mission to soothe the brokenhearted with continued resources to help minimize the trauma of grief, and to assist them through their journey. And so I am bringing on Ms. Fry. Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening, Deborah?
And I am wonderful. Hello, how are you?
I'm great. You know, we have been trying to get you on this show for a minute. I am so glad the day has finally come. It just seems like so
yeah.
much was going on and just trying to get you on the air. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Yes, now I only gave just a snippet of your bio. So please introduce yourself to the listening audience and just give them an opportunity to know more about you.
Okay. Well, God has given me a hunger and a passion for the brokenhearted. And, you know, just think of that, just having a passion to soothe the brokenhearted and to help people through the trauma of grief. And I've been doing this, I guess, now for the last 22, 23 years, walking through people through the funeral process, talking with them through the process. I am so passionate about doing this. I have written two books now. One is Grieving Under Grace. I have a business. It is called Grief Care Consulting. So I have that going on as well. And then I am finishing up my second book, which is for children and grown-up to kind of go through the process of grief together. And the name of that book is What About Me? I'm Sad Too, which is a children's grief activity book that will help and teach our children how to handle the process of grieving at an early age. And I believe it would help them as they're coming up in the middle school and high school and going into their adulthood, how to deal with grief if we are able to get them at a younger age.
And so 23 years of this, that's a lifetime. Was there something that took place in your own personal life that drew you to that field, or was it a scripture that just let some of the pages of the Bible to you?
You know, it is just, I think God has given me an overwhelming compassion as I was going through things. I too have had traumatic trauma and grief and things like that also at a younger age. But, it's kind of unexplainable. There's no scripture. There's no one thing that happened. But it's just, I was that kid that was tormented when we had to go to the funeral for grandma or for aunt, for my aunt. I was that child that just could not deal with the trauma of grief. So coming up in maturing and having that compassion, that it just kind of oozed into helping others. And when I had the opportunity to help out with the grieving, it just stuck with me. I started some self-help things to help me and to understand grief a little bit better, because we read and learn about everything other than how to grieve. So it just became a passion and a hunger for me.
And, you know, I say out of our own trials and tribulations, out of our own fears, we usually will discover our true calling. And I believe it's twofold. I believe that by firsthand experiencing it, we know what it's like to walk through it. And we know that that's true about Jesus. The scripture says that he was tempted on all points as we are, yet without sin, but he still had to walk through that temptation. We know that he walked through his own journey with grief when Lazarus died, and the shortest
scripture recorded is that Jesus wept. And so we know that he's touched when we grieve. And you're so right that we don't discuss grief as much as we should, considering death is just as much a part of life as birth is. Like, you can't have one without the other.
Absolutely.
And yet we celebrate.
And, we have to celebrate.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in my book, Grieving Under Grace, you know, it's not just a lot of times when you think about grieving, people go automatically to the process of someone dying. But grieving under grace is about what we grieve about on a normal basis through our entire life. Grieving over self-shame, grieving over the unexpected, grieving over church hurt, grieving over the loss of a friendship, grieving over hardships. So we grieve over something so regularly that we do it so well and it becomes so common to us that we kind of walk through the grief process not even knowing that we're grieving, and we need to sit down and do some self-care and some self-help to get us in a better state of wherever we're grieving, whatever that area is.
And if we don't deal with it, we carry that over into our next relationship, or we carry that over into the next situation. We carry that over into the next everything because it's a weight that we carry.
Yes.
Now, are there steps to walking through grief that are just universal, no matter what the grief? Are there steps that one person would walk through?
I say all the time that grief has no color, grief has no religion, grief has no genre. Grief is just grief. And I say that when grief happens. So there's no particular step because everyone grieves differently. I could lose my mother, which I have done. The loss of my mother will affect me way differently than the loss of someone else. His mother, you know, my trauma of seeing a child passing could be a totally different trauma of seeing of someone else seeing that same thing. Losing a marriage could be a whole lot different than the other person. So we all grieve differently. We all go after grief in a different way based on how we can cope with it and deal with it. But I tell people all the time that when you're grieving, you never, ever have to grieve alone because there's always someone that's right there that's reachable that can kind of walk you through the process of it. You know, and just be there. Be a listening ear as a shoulder to cry on, as someone to grieve along with you, whatever your grief may be. You don't ever have to go.
Is that the most important thing, that the person who's walking through, a loved one or a friend or a neighbor or just someone who's grieving, to understand that oftentimes you don't have to have the right words as much as just to be right there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of times trying to figure out the right words, we say the wrong things. A lot of times people don't know what to say. They can say things like, well, she's in a better place now. It's all right. You know, you lost your dog, just go get another one. So it's those things that when you don't know what to say, just be quiet. Don't say anything at all. And the person that is grieving can appreciate that a little bit better. Just you being there, cooking them something to eat, answering their telephone because they don't feel like talking. So just being there with them does 100% more than just talking and saying something that's irritating.
Yeah, I did a show a couple of months ago. You mentioned earlier church hurt, and we listed all the things that you just never say to someone who's experienced church hurt. And ironically, they were the exact things that we seem to be conditioned to say. We begin to speak our religiosity or Christianese is what I call it. And yes, that person may be in a better place, but that's not the time to say that necessarily to that individual. And so I love that not only are you dealing with the adults in every area of their lives, and I know for those who are in Hampton Roads, we're really all over the world, know about the tragedy that we recently had here in our own backyard in Virginia Beach. And I know that, that you were instrumental in walking with those family members through their tragedy. What was that experience like for you with something so traumatic being so close to home?
Well, now walking with them individually, I haven't met any of them individually or their families. What I did do was any of the local funerals that were here, what I did, I kind of availed myself to be at the person's viewing. And I took my book, Grieving Under Grace, and I made sure that it was in their keepsake bag or whatever items that the funeral home was going to give to them at the end of the service. So I've availed myself that way. Of course, you know, when you don't know people, you can avail yourself in prayer for them as well.
Yeah.
You know, I had to kind of deal with my own family as well, because my son was an employee there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, just walking him and talking with him and dealing with him through the grief, although he was spared, the shock of it and the trauma of it, to think that that could have been me if I was there at 4 o'clock. You know, if I didn't get off 2 hours early, because he walked those hallways where the coworkers were murdered. So that was a piece that we had to deal with. And just knowing that, like you said, in our backyard, and seeing the faces of the 12 that were killed, it's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking across the nation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were in prayer this Sunday, and one of the members of the prayer team mentioned the family of the more recent tragedy of the mom who murdered her 2-year-old, and was asking for prayer for her family, because even though they weren't part of it, they're still being affected by it, especially from the community. And in the tragedy that took place in Virginia Beach, it's the community, it's the state, it's the nation, but also the family of the young man who murdered these individuals. They're also going through a grief process as well.
Right, and they're going through the grief process 12 times over, if I can say.
Yes.
Of the multitude of what has happened, and you know, and I'm almost certain that they are probably in a state of shock, a state of shame, a state of just not knowing which way to go, because they loved their family member also who did this horrific thing, you know. So it is just unimaginable. It's unthinkable. And it's these times when I go to the scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29, where it talks about God just having things that we will never know why they happen, what brings it on. There are just secrets that we will never, ever know. But what we are to do is what he has given us charge to do, and what we know to do in his word, what we know to do in life, what we know to do in our just common sense and love for mankind. We're to do those things, you know. So that is the scripture that I fall back on, because if you try to figure most of this kind of stuff out in grief, it can almost send you into a spiral mental breakdown, you know. You have to have that healthy balance in grief as well, which is very important also.
Yes. Now, you're right there in the fire when you're dealing with other people's grief. You're taking on that trauma with them. What steps do you have in place to ensure that you as the caregiver are maintaining your own sense of self-care and self-wellness? What things do you have in place for yourself?
Well, I pull away, you know, and I can pull away and kind of, I go down under for a couple of days, mm-hmm. and I can have people calling for me and saying, you know, where are you? You know, and my answer is I just had to get away for a few days and mm-hmm. do my own self-care, stop talking, stop texting, get off of the social media for a little bit.
Yes.
And necessarily it's just home, quiet, not a whole lot of TV, you know, or I throw myself into family time, which strengthens me and blesses me as well, to just kind of get away with my husband. You know, he knows that I need to be pulled away a little bit, so he will kind of cover me. And you just got to know how to pull away, pray. Of course, God knows you have to pray and you have to ask for the strength to continue on. And I really believe that when you have a passion to do certain things, you're just able to continue to do it and do it and do it until you actually need to pull back for your own self-care. But I think God graces you when you're in a passion of helping people. It encourages me. Although I mourn with them and I cry with them, I also rejoice with them, because there are still some life to live within grief. So that's another
yes.
thing that I try to teach people, because at the initial shock of grief, you can be so devastated. But as you're walking through the grief, and I'll use a funeral as an example. You're devastated the first couple of days doing the paperwork
mm-hmm.
and handling the business. By the time you get to your friends and family or whoever coming over to your home, you find yourself giggling a little bit. I call those grief giggles. You find yourself
yeah.
talking about your loved one, and it brings you comfort. By the time you get to the viewing, you have people that are talking so infatuously about your loved one to where it brings laughter. And
mm-hmm.
So you're getting laughter in the midst of grief, which is amazing to see.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it gives people strength as they're going through.
Yes. A good friend of mine, Linda Bernhans, and I've had Linda on the show before, she has
mm-hmm.
the Connecting Caregivers radio show, and what
uh-huh.
she does is she actually cares for the caregiver. She cares for those individuals
oh, wow.
who, like yourself, are in the trenches with individuals who are going through the grieving process.
Yes.
The caregivers that she primarily ministers to are those who are living with loved ones who are either in respite or who are end of life, or as you were saying, with divorce or loss of jobs or any
sure.
of those capacities. And
mm-hmm.
I appreciate that she is there for individuals such as yourself who are right there in the trenches. And I'll make sure that I connect you with her in
okay.
her gift, because she's called to take care of the Deborah Fries of the world while Deborah
yeah.
is taking care
yeah.
of the rest of the world.
That's
now,
amazing.
You mentioned in your comments earlier that you now have a children's book. And you know I feel
yes.
like this book is my book grandbaby, right? You
oh,
know
yes.
I feel
oh, yes.
like.
Listen.
Please
listen,
tell us
you,
more about that book.
Listen, you have been a breath of fresh air and information and confidence for me. And just, I can do it. But it is. Because, you know, I was thinking, well, if the grown-ups are grieving like this, what are the children? The children have got
yes.
to be grieving as well. So, you know, and then it came to me, as the children would say, what about me? I'm sad, too. And
mm-hmm.
Years ago, one of my girlfriends passed, and her 3-year-old then, she was 3 years old then, she's now 9. Is Jalen she's now 12. But when she was three, I had never seen a child grieve so deeply. And she was inconsolable when we were there for her mom's viewing. It was the funeral. But she grieved to where she was inconsolable, and it just kind of stuck with me. So when I thought about this book, What About Me, I'm Sad Too, I thought about this beautiful young lady, Jaylen, now, who's 12. And, you know, so it just helped me with the different activities that I have in the book. It's not a book like a chapter book, but it's an activity book where the grown up, and I call them grown ups because every child don't have that title parent
That's right.
They can see. But every child does have a trusted grown up in their life, whether it be a parent or whether it be an auntie or whether it be a social worker. Somebody, every child has a trusted grown up. So you're able to utilize the activity book to walk through the grief process. And I also have some nuggets in there for the parent as well, or the grown up, as they are going through as to how to help the child understand, and also some nuggets for the grown-up as well, so that as they're going through, they're understanding the process and what to do to help the child as well. And some of the activities the grown-up can do just as well as the child. Who doesn't like to color?
Mm.
We all color.
Right.
So, you know, who doesn't want to jot down fun facts about your loved one that has passed on? And everything that I do, I try to make it into a keepsake piece. So by the time the grown-up and the child get to the end of this activity book, you have a keepsake that you can pass on to generations to come, to where you'll know who the person is, you'll know what they love to do, you'll know what that child was thinking 30 years down the road when they're now 40 years old. They can go back and look at their own book. So everything that I try to do, I try to make it a keepsake piece because that's very important to me. When I was growing up, I didn't know a lot of my grandmother, facts about my mom or my dad without having to dig for them. So I want to make it to where you don't have to dig too far to know some facts about your family. So it becomes a legacy piece that you can pass on. And that's the same with my book, Grieving Under Grace, as well. You're able to journal through the book, put your own thoughts in the book, and you can pass it on to, it can be passed on for generations to come. I really believe in my whole heart that 100 years down the road, when great, 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 granddaughter of somebody have this book, they're going to see what I thought about hardship or what I thought about the loss of a friendship. And I believe that it will be a help tool to them in the generations to come.
Now, what is the age group for? What is the age group for What About Me, I'm Sad Too?
The age group for that is from anywhere from 5 to 10 years old, and I am toiling with the 11 to tween book. You know, which I am toiling, trying to wonder if I'm, and that'll probably be a small chapter book as well, because I think at that age they're reading well and they're able to put their thoughts on a piece of paper. So. So, you know, so I have a few more books that's in my belly that I need to get out and put them on paper. And with me doing funerals, helping families and walking them through funerals for the last 22 years or so, that is another book that I would like to write, which is your chapter book, How to Deal with the Trauma, How to Deal with Paperwork, How to Deal with not putting your money in the ground, how to deal with getting back to a healthier you. So it'll be how to walk yourself through, which will be a wonderful tool to individuals as well as clergies and churches and funeral homes. And so, you know, so I have a few other things in mind that I'll be putting out as well.
Awesome. Now, where are the listeners able to follow you? Where are they able to find your books? Maybe someone's listening right now, and after hearing you speak, they realize that they've not properly gone through the grieving process. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just kind of stuck because they were surrounded by people who didn't know to just be quiet and that spoke words into their spirit that, you know, caused them to grieve differently than they should. Or maybe there's someone listening now and they're caring for a child who's lost a parent, and now they're trying to decide or discover what it is that they need to do for this child that they've been entrusted to. So where are all these individuals able to find you?
Okay. Well, you can always find me on Facebook. You can inbox me there under my name, Deborah Fry. That's very easy. Also, I'm on Instagram. Grief Care Consulting is the name on my Instagram page. My email address is dfrye.gcc@gmail.com. Let me give that over again. That's dfrye.gcc@gmail.com. And also, you can put in Grief Care Consulting, you know, on the look for me there. So, and then also my book is on Amazon. So you can get my book off of Amazon, Grieving Under Grace, and you can get it there, and it can be mailed directly to your home. Or if you want to purchase a book and I sign it, I can mail it to you as well. So, and then also going to my Grief Care Consulting page, if there's anyone that needs to have private conversation, I would love to have a consultation with you and to kind of walk with you through this journey called grief, whether it is loss of a loved one, whether it is loss of a pet, loss of a divorce, hardship, whatever your grief may be. And there are many, many griefs in this world. We can walk through that together.
What a beautiful position to be in, to where you can truly be God's hands, feet, arms, his words, his heart, his comfort to those who are grieving. We know that's what Isaiah said, that Christ would be for us, that he would bind up the brokenhearted. And we know that, and to be able to do that and walk in that, because a lot of people can't, Deborah. A lot of people would run from a calling like that because you have to be transparent in that calling. You can't go in with any agenda, anything. So I want to personally thank you for, which I do need to add this in. I really feel compelled to add this in. Just because you read Deborah's book and she makes it sound easy, she said at the top of the hour that she's been walking this walk for over 23 years. And I believe that she was walking it even before then, just didn't have a title for it. And so this isn't a calling that you read a book and then decide that you're going to put a title on yourself. This is not one of those areas, you know. We see the word coach popping up all over the place, and people want to just pick an area that's underutilized so that they can kind of get in and make it their niche. But this is truly a spiritual, this is ministry that you're doing.
It's ministry. And, you know, my book, Grieving Under Grace, every chapter, the Lord has blessed me to walk through every chapter, grieving over hardship, grieving over church hurt, grieving over the unexpected, grieving over every chapter. I've been able to put my own life story within the book. So you're reading about Deborah Fry experience and faults and life and, you know, but then you're also reading about how God helped me through and how I came through, and it, you know, every chapter is ending with a grace nugget and a grace reflection. So, you know, you're able to walk through this thing called grief, but you have to do it in a balanced way. You have to have someone to help you out if you feel like you're isolated. So it has truly been a joy to get this out of my belly on paper and in a book and published and in libraries. I'm just so humbled and so grateful. Being one of ten, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do something as a piece of legacy for my father, for my mother, in their name, and it's, you know, and get it in libraries so that people can check it out and read it, and it's overseas. I'm just so elated as to what God has done.
It is
truly a miracle. Yes, yes, I'm telling you. So I'm just grateful for
that. And for those who are listening at the top, I was going to say those who are listening at the top of the hour, I wanted to make sure that they understood that you are one of the authors who will be present during the Hampton Roads Indie Author Book Festival. And so please come out. You can meet Deborah in person. You'll get a chance to speak with her. Get copies of her books, but also just get a chance to put a face to the name. Now, Deborah, are there any words that you would like to leave with the listening audience before we move on? Is there anything just burning in your heart? Maybe someone's listening now who's walking through a grieving process, or maybe 10 years from now someone stumbled upon this broadcast and they need to hear something to walk through their process. What is it that you would like to leave with those individuals?
Yeah. Well, I want to first let them know that grief is something that we're all going to go through. It's no way around it, no way under it. It is something that we will all go through, but you don't have to go through it alone. You know, I wrote a grace moment that says, crying is the way your eyes speak when your mouth can't explain how broken your heart is. So we all have broken hearts, and some of us have broken hearts more than we would like to, but grief is something that you never, ever have to do alone, and it's as easy as reaching out to a trusted soul. So I want to encourage you to continue on this journey of life, never, ever give up, and stay connected with a power source that is able to walk you through your journey, and you're able to give back into their journey.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And Deborah, we're going to ask that you stay on with us. We are going to bring on our next guest, Tiffany, but I want to make sure that the listeners know, because our lines are lit up tonight, so there are a lot of people who have dialed in. If you have logged on and you're listening via the website, there is a chat option that you're able to type in your question for our guest, and I will be able to read those on the air for you. But if you're listening live and you have a question for Deborah, maybe there's something that you're dealing with on your own that you would like to speak with her, please just hit 1, and it will cue you up, and we will bring you on the air to speak with Deborah directly, or our next author who's coming up in just a few moments, Tiffany. So we want to give you that option to be able just to hit 1, just the 1, and it will cue you in to speak with our guests. So, Deborah, please stay on the line. I do want to bring you back on if you're able. If you aren't, I fully understand.
Oh, no.
But before you go, we do have a caller that has a question for you. So let's bring on the caller.
Awesome.
Hi, caller. This is Florenza, and Deborah's on the line. You have a question for her? Yes. Hello, caller. Phone ending in 9393. You have a question for Deborah?
Yes, hi. My name is Carolyn Milborn, and I wanted to say this has been so much needed and so rewarding just to be able to listen to Mrs. Fry. It's a tool. I mean, I've always wondered if it was other help out there outside of sitting down with family members or a friend or whatnot to really kind of work through. I know I've lost some family members, and it is still very difficult to even think of the lost. It is a loss that's down in your gut, and as Ms. Fry mentioned, in your belly, and that pain, you know, it's subsided. It's not as intense as it was, you know, early on. Going through the passing, but the pain is still there. And just to hear, I had no idea what the topic was going to be tonight, and what a blessing. I just want to say it truly has been a blessing to be here, and you can just sense the presence of God in this ministry and on the phone, and thank you for having me here.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Milborn, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Please stay on the air. And make sure that you speak. Deborah gave her email address earlier, and I'll make sure that I mention it again should there be any further questions that you have for her so that she's able to speak with you. Deborah, do you have any comments for Ms. Milborn?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Ms. Milborn, listening to you, you said that, you know, it still is hard to get through. And, you know, some days are good, some weeks are good, some years could be good. But I tell people, pick a special day of your loved one and honor them, whether it be light a candle in honor of them, put on their special music in honor of them, cook a special meal in honor of them. If you have a piece of their jewelry or clothing, wear it in honor of them. And for me, that is very soothing. It is very comforting, and it just helps me through the grief process. So, you know, try some of those self-help tools and see how they are. And, of course, you can always call me or inbox me, and we can talk and walk this thing through together.
Well, you know, there's sometimes, as my mother, you know, losing my mom, and Deborah, I think you mentioned, you know, talking with her all the time. And there's still times, and I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years, but I still want to pick up the phone. I can still hear her little sayings and cliches and, you know, just wanting to pick up the phone and you know, have that intimacy, that, you know, connection. I'm so much better than I was before, but and I know it's success, but I am working through it. I am working through it.
And what you can do too, Carolyn, is whenever you have those overwhelming feelings, sit down and write a letter to your mother. Write your feelings on write a letter. Write a love letter to her. And, of course, you know, it could bring tears, but it will bring healing as well because you're unpacking the feeling that's born inside. Just write. And before you know it, you will have a journal to pass on to your children and your grands about their grandmother and great-grandmother.
Right.
And it's all your writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I have... Yeah. So many things of hers around my house, you know. I got more of her things than, you know, any of my siblings. And so, you know, I plant flowers in honoring her and watch them grow. That's a great feeling. I look over there and, you know, only me, but I say, you know, hey, Ma, you know, but it's a connection there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I'm elated that I was able to speak to somebody on the telephone. But this is you.
Thank you for calling in, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Awesome. And please stay on the line, Ms. Milbourne.
Okay.
Yes. Well, Deborah, thank you so much. And please stay on the line. We're going to bring on Tiffany in just a bit. And if we have time, we will open the lines again. I know that there are other callers who are listening in. They're hovering over their questions. And just in case you are just dialing in, we are speaking with Deborah Fry, who has written the book Grieving Under Grace, and she's also written a children's book. It's an activities book that will become a keepsake for them. And the title of that book is What About Me? I'm Sad Too. Her email address for those who are just dialing in is D for Deborah Fry, F-R-Y-E, dot G-C-C for Grace Care Consulting at gmail.com. That's dfry.gcc at gmail.com. And we are going to keep her on the line with us. So after the show, if we have time, we will most definitely take your call. So thank you so much, Deborah, and please remain with us, okay?
Will, thank you.
Awesome. What a powerful, powerful show, and thank you all so much for joining me. We do have two guest speakers this evening. Normally I have one, but these ladies, their messages are so powerful. I just wanted to make sure that we added them both on the air and gave you an opportunity to be able to hear their messages. And so our next guest speaker, yes, by now I would be playing a song. We are just going to keep it rolling because we want to get right in. And so our next guest speaker is Miss Tiffany Gallup. And I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Tiffany earlier in the year. She is absolutely dynamite. I know that's not a word we use anymore, but she is absolutely dynamite. She is an author of the soon-to-be-released children's book. She is the owner of Let Me Be Great Yoga Studio, Let Me Be Great Children's Yoga, which was founded in February 2018. Her mission is to provide a safe, non-judgmental place for children of all abilities to have an opportunity to achieve their definition of greatness through yoga, daily yoga activities. And as of 2018, she has had an opportunity to share this tremendous gift to well over 1,000 children. And I know that number is has multiplied tremendously since then. So we are going to bring on Miss Tiffany Gallup. Tiffany, hello. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good afternoon or good evening, everyone.
Good evening. So I only gave a snippet of your bio, and I want to give an alibi to those who are listening. I am going to have Tiffany back on within the next couple of weeks because Tiffany's life story is such an amazing example of perseverance, endurance, and just walking in the goodness and the grace of God. And so when you hear her story and hear what she's doing, it's birthed out of trusting God for the miraculous. And so I wanted to share that because I want the audience to know we are going to have you back on. But for right now, tonight, we are talking about your books and your yoga studio. So tell us how it came to be that you are the owner of such a wonderful children's yoga movement.
I would definitely have to agree that with the beginning of Let Me Be Great Children's Yoga, it was definitely a call that was answered. I had no idea what yoga really was until I was offered yoga as a kind of a getaway by my husband, ironically. So we used that as kind of our bonding time, and I absolutely fell in love with what we were doing and how I felt after the fact, and it gave me tools to be able to cope and to self-regulate my emotions throughout the day and to de-stress. And I thought to myself, being a special needs, pediatric special needs nurse, how awesome would it be to be able to share that gift with children who often get overlooked in the community and in society in general. So I paired the two together and honestly just took one step in front of the other and followed the signs and went with my heart. And here we are a little over a year later, and you're right, we have met with more than 1,000 children at this point. I've lost count, but we've been to almost every city in the 757, sharing our love and our passion and joy of yoga. So,
now your background is as a nurse as well, correct?
Yes, I work with pediatric special needs nurse as a pediatric special needs nurse with children in the Hampton Roads area.
Now, how did your being a nurse and discovering your love for yoga, a nurse for pediatric children, and your love for yoga, how were you able to marry those things together? And do you feel that your background as a nurse empowered you to take yoga to the next level?
Oh, that's a good question. Working as a pediatric special needs nurse, I work really hands-on with the children. Children are my passion, and I consider myself a strong advocate for the children and the voiceless. And watching the specific children who need nursing services, especially in the school setting, not be able to participate with their peers, that really had an effect on me. So when I realized how much I loved yoga and the quality time that I was able to spend with my husband and the benefits to it, it was really on the way to work one day that the idea sparked. And instead of having the particular child that I had sit out in PE because he wasn't able to participate given his diagnoses, we began doing different things that I had learned in the yoga class. And he was able to still do low-impact activities, still be able to stretch his muscles on a level that he could achieve, but we didn't have to just sit in a corner and watch everybody play. So when I realized that it was that he was open to participating and he loved it, I said, wow, like how many other children would love this opportunity? And so then I just really started researching things, and that's how I gained the knowledge and started my journey into creating Let Me Be Great Children's Yoga.
Now, hindsight is 2020. Could you ever in a million years have thought that you would be doing the work that you're doing with children and yoga?
No. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I would have never imagined anything of the sort at all. I never saw this as something that I could potentially do at all. I didn't.
Yes.
If someone had told me that this is what I would be doing with children, I wouldn't have believed it. So it's just a humbling experience to be able to see the effect that yoga has on the children that we, I wouldn't say serve as, but the children that we meet, to see the effect in the faces and the way that they are receptive and they enjoy it, to watch them gain inner peace. It's just really, really, it's a total, I have total gratitude for the whole experience. So that's what keeps us going, and that's what keeps us striving to reach the next child in the next school and to share yoga with so many more children.
Awesome. Now, explain with the listening audience, because we've heard the word yoga. Everyone has heard yoga. But explain to the listening audience what some of the benefits of yoga are for children and which population of children really do benefit the most from it.
Oh, that's a good question. Yoga has so many benefits, and I could probably talk to you all day about the benefits. But some of the key benefits of our yoga program really have to do with socially emotional. A lot of our children are not taught social emotional coping skills and mechanisms and techniques. Really how to communicate. There's really a gap in this new society or this new generation, so to speak, of children that just don't know what to do with how they're feeling. And that's one of the biggest things that we key in on, in addition to, of course, physical movement and also becoming mindful and things like that. But social emotional is one of the biggest things. So we teach the children that we teach them peace begins with me or kindness begins with me. And we teach them to, before they act or out of anger or express a specific emotion or snap, so to speak, we teach them to take a deep breath and reset their mind. Take a deep breath before they react. Say peace begins with me, or take their mind off of what it is that's upsetting them so that they don't make a wrong decision out of an emotion that, a split second decision out of an emotion that, that'll be gone in just a few. So that's one of the things that we teach them. Of course, with being a special needs nurse, like I had mentioned, one of my patients was not able to participate in physical education. So yoga helped the children learn how to stretch their muscles in a safe way. It's very low impact. It's not competitive. And it allows them to still be able to gain their coordination or increase their coordination, even in their flexibility and things of that nature. So that is very important for our children that may use different devices, what we call ASOs or TLSOs, which are like orthotics that keep their body in alignment. Those types of movements help the body not become contracted. We also work with individuals who may have been in war or have lost a limb or are in wheelchairs and things like that. So we're able to create a lesson with the nursing background that I have specifically to that child and to that person. So instead of having them join a general class, once we do a registration and we're able to find out more about that child or that person, we will make sure that that class, there is something in that class that they can achieve. That way, everyone walks
so
away.
Individualized.
Yes, everything is individualized. Yes, we do group classes, but we're not going to, if there's a child that's scared of spiders, we're not going to add that into our lesson specifically because that child doesn't like that. So that way, that child can still enjoy that class, and no one else has to know that person or that child does not like spiders. So we'll do that on our end. And, you know, if there's a child that's in a wheelchair, the poses will be adapted to the wheelchair so that the child can still feel like they can participate in an inclusive class, but then they're still able to achieve their level of greatness while in their wheelchair. So those are some of the things that yoga does on a physical aspect. As far as a mental aspect, it really helps decrease behaviors. Yoga helps also lower blood pressure, and it helps lower stress levels. It helps with anxiety and test-taking skills. There's countless ways that yoga helps children and adults physically, emotionally, and spiritually, if they so want to go to that route. We don't necessarily, in our yoga classes, We are strictly physical movement, or what we call creative movement. So if during their quiet time they wish to pray, that is something that they can do on their own. What we do not enforce a specific religion. We are religion free. We're more
okay.
creative movement and physical movement. And that's one of the questions we get a lot too.
Now, is this because just listening to what you're saying and listening to Deborah, the guest before you, in her book dealing with children as far as trauma, and listening to the children trauma and grieving, but listening to the children that you have had the opportunity to work with in the nursing capacity, but also within the yoga capacity, is this something that should be taught in the classrooms?
Oh, I absolutely agree that it should be. Let Me Be Your Children's Yoga has partnered with a Virginia Beach City Public School. We are community partners, so we have been able to, we have partnered with a couple of schools in the community where we're able to go in and we'll either do the morning announcement, so we'll start the day with yoga, have the children kind of just smoothly transition from home to school. Children go through so much in the morning time just to get to their desk and have a seat. And doing a small 5-minute yoga session will help them leave whatever stress and anxiety that they went through to get to school and kind of reset their mind into getting ready to learn. If there is no smooth transition, there is a harder time for the teachers to actually connect with the child and the child to actually learn what's being taught. So that small 5-minute yoga session will allow them to succeed in class. I definitely believe it should be incorporated at a higher rate than what it already is.
Do you see one day, just due to what's going on in the public education system, because the private schools utilize different aspects, mindfulness, yoga, meditations, they're using various aspects to empower their children to succeed. Do you foresee a day where public schools are going to have to recognize that gap that's there and utilize yoga as part of what's put into that gap?
I do believe that it will catch on. I do believe that with the way that it just seems like the way society is moving is more towards a more healthier route. You see a lot more commercials about being healthy. You see almost like a healthy movement happening. I believe that it will catch on, and I believe that it will eventually be phased into the school system. But with that, really, a lot of things are about numbers. So they want to see what are the statistics, what are the benefits. They really want to see proof before they begin to add those things. And really it's about educating the teachers too, because we've had questions from the teachers, I don't have time to teach this because I have to make sure I'm getting this lesson and this lesson and this lesson completed. And, you know, there's no time to put this into the schedule. So really educating staff and the administration on how yoga doesn't take any more time out of the educational time. It will actually add more time to the educational time, especially when you're having less behavioral concerns, less detention, and less time repeating yourself. All of those things will decrease when the children are focused and keyed into what you're saying.
Now, what age
so it will catch
does
on.
Let Me Be Great? What age group does Let Me Be Great Yoga Studio service? What is the age group now that you guys service?
Oh, that's such a good question. So we are able to work with children from the ages of 6 months old all the way up into adults. I myself am a certified children's yoga teacher and our co-director, Ms. Terry White, is a certified adaptive yoga teacher. So between the two of us, we were able to service children from 6 months to adulthood, or service adults and children from 6 months to adulthood.
Wow, wonderful. Now, I mentioned earlier that you are an author as well. Please share with us your children's book, what it's about, and what it is that you want the child and the caregiver to take away from reading the book.
Good question. I love these guys. You're so good. I love it.
Thank you.
So Finny's Magic Feather is our newest book that will be published at the end of this year. This book is about taking that one moment to regroup yourself. It's actually based off of a true story in reference to one of our children that we had in our class. Her name was Finny. And what we had a lesson about is learning how to breathe. How deep should your deep breath be so that we are making sure we are doing it correctly? And in this class, to demonstrate that, we used feathers. And what we told the children to do was to take a nice deep breath in and then put their feather in their hand and blow their feather across their yoga mat. And upon doing that, the kids loved it. There was feathers flying everywhere. It was amazing. And then we said, okay, well, we're going to make a wish. And we really want children to learn to start speaking positively. There's so mm-hmm. much negativity going on in the world. We need children to start thinking and saying positive things. And we need to have them do it second nature, not so forced, because then it's the mindset is not there. So this little girl named Finny wanted her dad to come back home from being overseas in the military. So she made her wish and she blew on her feather. And then at the end, they put their feathers in their pockets and they took them home. Well, Finny didn't realize that her father was already home. So
uh-huh.
he came and picked her up from the class that evening. And she at that point believed that her feather was magical. And if she would take a deep breath and make a wish as she blew her feather, that anything she thought and she said would come true. Now, we always say speak into the universe and say what you want to see happen. So in this case, as a perfect example, just by this little girl, she believed it, and she put it into the universe, and she prayed. Well, she prayed to herself about it, and it happened just
mm-hmm.
that evening. It doesn't always happen that quick, but we want to teach children to never give up on what they
right.
may want to see happen or what they may want to become. So
that
that's
is
the
so
gist
powerful.
Of the book. Thank you. And we want the caregivers
that's so powerful.
Thank you. We want the caregivers to also take away that sometimes as parents, and I can say me included, we get so overwhelmed with what's going on in life. And we forget to take that deep breath. And with so
mm-hmm.
many things going on and bills to be paid and dinner to be cooked and so on, we forget sometimes to say those positive words. So I believe that the children can teach the parents and the parents can teach the children. And then if one household can do it, then the next household and then the next household and then the community and then the school. And it'll just start one household at a time, one child at a time. But if we begin to say positive words and have those peaceful places within ourselves and then within our homes and then within our communities, then we will be so much better place.
What I love about Finny is the character that you chose to utilize as representation for her. And please tell us what that character is and how powerful the message of her being sends out to children.
Absolutely. Finny is a hippo. So many people think, oh, a hippo is doing yoga. Yes, Finny is a hippo. She's fierce. She's a leader. She's very helpful. She definitely speaks her mind. But she's a hippo, which means she's a little overweight, or maybe a lot overweight. But she's still flexible, and she still tries. And she's an amazing personality. Mm-hmm. I wanted to send a message to every child that believes that they can't do something because of how they look, whether it's they are overweight or they're a certain skin color or they have a certain ailment. Whatever their thing is, I wanted to send the message that they can do anything that they try, that they put their mind to. So in this class, Finny is a hippo, and she, I believe, is the largest child in this class, the largest animal in this class. And she is able to demonstrate the poses that the teacher is asking her to do very well, and even help some of her classmates in the book as well achieve the pose that they were instructed to do by the teacher. So I want children to be encouraged, and I want them to think positively of themselves. And I want Finny to be an example of what that looks like from a child standpoint.
That is so powerful. And guys, I know that you've not seen the pictures. I have seen the pictures of Finny, and you have not seen anything as adorable as a hippopotamus in a tutu. She is absolutely fierce. And what I love is that she is the size that she is supposed to be for the animal that she is, and the fact that she walks in understanding that. And I think what happens is so often, especially with social media, we see pretend so much. Our children are bombarded with make-believe and pretend, that it, pretend has now taken on the role of being reality for our children. And now when they are faced with reality, they have no way of dealing with reality because they've been bombarded with the make-believe. And I believe that but what you're doing with yoga and empowering children to do what they can do and learning how to improve their social-emotional learning skills and improving how they view themselves and how they treat their bodies and how their bodies are impacted with the life, just life itself that goes on around them, that in hopes they will become better adults, more productive adults, more empowered adults, that they will be able to utilize those peace begins with me and happiness begins with me and joy begins with me. Now, I want to make sure, though, because you have two other amazing items that I want to make sure that the listeners know about. You have an amazing poster that will be available soon. Can you tell us a little bit about the poster and what it's designed to do?
Yes. So we have a poster coming out that features our friend Finny, and she is doing a series of yoga poses on this poster. So it allows children to see her do the pose, and allows them to practice. So they can hang this poster in their room. It can be hung in a classroom, or it can even be hung wherever you can stick it to a wall or a chalkboard. Or even digitally, it will allow children the opportunity to see her do these poses. They can learn how to do them correctly. They'll also be able to know when to take their deep breath. There's also a cute little reminder on there when to take their deep breath, how to do that, and how to just really create, once again, that peaceful place. The goal for the poster is to remind children visually that to do yoga every day, to practice mindfulness every day, to practice doing something that makes them physically fit every day. And I believe by having a visual reminder for doing that, it will become like second nature. So this poster has poses that are standing, poses that are on laying down, and even some that are on their hands and knees. So it's a variety of poses, and it's a really easy sequence of poses that doesn't require anyone to have a previous knowledge on how to exactly do yoga. So anyone can do this, and you don't have to be a certain age. And honestly, truly, you don't even have to know how to read to do it. But that's a whole nother can of worms, because we definitely are tackling the literacy, just as Ms. Forenza is too, with adding yoga into literacy.
Yes.
So this poster, there's words on it, but you don't have to know how to read to do the poses. But we will begin to incorporate that into our books and into our posters, so that we can begin to teach children how to read. And I'll tell you a little sidebar. So today I had a class, guys, and we were making peaceful. I have a activity that we called Speak Your Peace. And honestly, I had a couple children ask me, well, what does a peace sign look like? And my heart broke, because I didn't realize that there's children that don't know what a peace sign looks like. I had a few children ask, well, how do you spell peace? And I just wanted to cry, but I was like, oh, no, I can help you. And I wrote it on the board. And, you know, I'm always non-judgmental, but I just want everybody to take a step back and realize that there are children out here who don't know what a peace sign looks like, and they don't know even how to spell peace. And how can you understand what peace is and accept it for what it is, and how to explain it to a friend if we're still not spelling it correctly? So that in itself is a whole movement that will begin very soon, because I believe that once children understand what peace is and how to achieve that for themselves, we can definitely work harder on creating those peaceful places within themselves and their homes and then the communities. So I personally didn't realize that I had skipped over that step of them not knowing how to even spell it or what the sign of peace looked like. So,
And it's so ironic that you're even saying that, because even as you're speaking, I'm looking over to my right, and it's an old piece of paper that my daughter drew on, and it has three different peace signs on it. And just that realization that unless it's something that you are familiar with, that you won't know what it is. We ask the next question. Where are the listeners able to follow you? Where are they able to get more information about the posters and your books? Or perhaps they would like you to come in and do a yoga demonstration for their classroom. Where are they able to find you for that?
Okay. Our biggest or easiest way to follow us is to hop online on our website. Our website is www.letmebegreatchildrensyoga.com. There is no apostrophe in children's for the website. It's just written straight out, letmebegreatchildrensyoga.com. We also are on Twitter at LMBGCY, just our initials. We are on Instagram at Let Me Be Great Children's Yoga. No apostrophe and no spaces, just written straight out. And then we are also on Facebook at Let Me Be Great Children's Yoga. Or you can even do the at symbol and then put LMBGCY. You can also email us, and that is at letmebegreatyoga@gmail.com. And then you can also give us a call at our office at 757-656-9442. All of that information is listed on our website.
Wonderful. Are there any last-minute words that you would like to leave with a parent, either in reference to yoga, mindfulness, or just something that's on your heart to speak to parents in reference to their children? Not just parents, but caregivers, teachers, whomever it may be.
Absolutely. My final words would be to savor the moment. If it's a moment of happiness, savor it. If it's a moment of sadness, savor it. Or grief, we talked about that earlier. Savor the moment. Even if it's a moment of joy or excitement or anxiety. Savor that moment. And what I mean savor it is take that moment in so that you know how to work with it. Experience that feeling, live in that moment for just a second. And if it's not a good feeling, what can you do to fix it? If it's a great feeling, take in the sights, the sounds, what you hear in that moment, and remember it and bury it in the back of your mind, so that when you're going through a time that's not so great or a time of grief, you can go back to that memory and savor it and say, you know what, I felt great when I did this, and I felt wonderful when I did that. But if we don't savor these moments, we cannot go back to what it was that we were feeling and process it. Honestly, by doing that, we can begin to work through grief or sadness or happiness and start to work with the emotional aspect that I honestly believe at this point, like I said earlier, the social emotional toolkit is not as full as it needs to be for many in this society. So savor those moments and work with them.
Yes. And I think that's just part of it. We live for the good and we run from the what we would categorize as not good. But in everything, there is a lesson, and everything there is a blessing. And even in sad times, if we face them, I did a video on my personal Facebook page a few days ago. It was from an episode of Criminal Minds. And it was with one of the actresses who was faced with a memory of something that was done to her. And the dialogue was the individual, a male character, was there talking to her, but he was speaking to her as if he was this fear haunting her. And the dialogue was so profound that I had to rewind it, record it, and post it. And it's one of those things that not as many people viewed it as I thought would, but it was so profound. It was just this realization that that's our responsibility when we are faced with our fears to investigate that thing and look deeply into it, so that in doing so, we remove the power of it to have control over us, but we also become empowered. And so I believe that that's what you're doing. I believe that that's what Deborah is doing for individuals, because it's coming down to that social emotional curb. It's coming down to empowering individuals to have control of their emotions and not just let them control them. And so I thank you so much. Yes, we are going to have you back on, as I said, because we ran out of time for any of our callers to be able to patch in for your questions. Please post them on social media site, on the events page. Both Deborah and Tiffany will answer those as you post them. Tiffany, I thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I know that this was just the tip of the iceberg, but I look forward to seeing Miss Finney in my hands. As I told Deborah earlier, I feel that her book is my book grandbaby, and you know most definitely I feel like Tiffany is one of my book grandbabies. I got a lot of grandbabies. They're just books.
Yes, definitely. I never in a million years saw this coming, but I definitely in the next million years could see how great it can help so many more children and so many more generations.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for joining us. This has been an amazing show. Thank your family for sharing you with me. I know with your children and your husband that this is family hour, so I definitely thank you. And Deborah, thank you both. Please tell your families thank you for sharing you with us on the show, and we most definitely will have you back on again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate once again, you inviting me on and having me share our yoga story.
Yes, wonderful. I'll have you back on soon.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you all so much for sticking in there with us. I apologize that we did not have enough time to ask any more questions live, but please post those questions to the Facebook page on the events page, or you may also contact either one of my guest speakers via their social media, their websites, email addresses, etc. Please join me next week. I have another lineup of amazing guest speakers for you. Just looking forward to sharing all of this wonderfulness with you all. You've been listening to Words to Ponder Radio Show featuring myself, Florence Denise Lee. You guys have a fantastic evening. God bless.